Last week, Paul told the Corinthians about the spiritual gifts given by God through the Holy Spirit to every believer. In verses 7 through 10, Paul listed the gifts as wisdom, knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning or distinguishing of spirits, tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. Now, if you listened to last week's sermon, you heard me say that the problem that Paul was addressing with the Corinthian believers was that some of the believers were being prideful and saying that some gifts were better than others and that those that had this gift were better than those that had that gift, yada, yada, yada. And Paul is trying to make them see that spiritual gifts are given by God through the Holy Spirit, where the church can accomplish God's purpose in the world. But the Corinthians are trying to make the gifts all about themselves instead of God. Our text today comes out of 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 31. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 31, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, and all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. For if they were all one part, where would the whole body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we should treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there would be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. Now, Paul was dealing with a problem. He was writing to this little church at Corinth, a church that he had helped found, a church that he loved. But it was a church that had problems. So Paul wrote, giving them guidance to get them on the right path again. One of their problems was spiritual pride. Each of the Christians had different gifts, different talents, and some of them were acting as if they were more important than others because of their gifts. The gift that seemed to be giving them the greatest problem was speaking in tongues. Now, shortly after Jesus' resurrection, Jews from all over the world gathered in Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost, which was a great Jewish holy day. And on that day, the Apostle Peter became a street preacher, and he preached to the great crowd about Jesus. Two very strange things about Peter's sermon that the people had never experienced before. First of all, the people listened. They didn't ignore Peter the way we see people ignoring street preachers these days. The second strange thing was that all the people from many different countries, many different languages, all heard Peter's sermon in their own language. Now think about the United Nations, if you've ever watched one of the meetings. And you may have one person speaking in Chinese and another is listening to headphones and gets a translation into their language. But Peter had no headphones, no translators. God had worked a miracle and everyone heard in their own language. This was the first instance of speaking in tongues. Now, speaking in tongues is something that we in the modern church don't really understand. The Holy Spirit gifted some with the ability to speak in different languages where they could share the gospel with others. Now, I've been around people speaking in tongues before, and to be honest, it makes me uncomfortable, mainly because I've never seen anyone interpret what is being said. However, Scripture tells us that it, speaking and interpreting, is a gift of the Spirit, so I know that it's real. It can happen. In the early church, those that spoke and interpreted tongues were proud that they could speak in tongues, and they tended to think that anyone that couldn't do so weren't as good as they were. Now, Paul was writing this chapter in large measure to answer these people. And Paul said that every Christian has his or her own gifts. Some were prophets, some were teachers, some spoke in tongues, some had other gifts. Then he said that all of these gifts, all of them are important to the church. The church is like a human body, and its different members are like a hand or a foot or an eye. Each of these organs is important to the human body, and each Christian's gifts are important to the church. Therefore, we should treasure each other's gifts. If our gift is teaching, we should be glad that someone else has the gift of exhortation, or preaching, or administration, or speaking in tongues. And we should share because we are all equal. We share each other's sorrows and rejoice in each other's joys. We are the church. We are one body. You may be the arm, but someone else is the leg. Someone else is the eye. All these pieces fit together to form one body, meaning the church. Each part of the body needs every other part, and if one part isn't using their gift, the whole church hurts. You know, it's the same thing with our spiritual body, with our physical body, rather. If you get a splinter in your finger and you can't get it out, you can't get anything done because you're thinking about that splinter. Granted, you're not going to cut off that finger. Well, I used to tell my boys when they'd come with a scrape or a hurt, should I get my knife and amputate? But we're not going to really amputate a hurt part. We're going to try to bring it back to health. Paul says to the Corinthians, we were all baptized into one body, Christ's body, the church. We're all part of one another. So don't lord it over someone else about your gift. Rejoice over the gifts others have. I don't think the modern church needs a sermon about the equality of all gifts. I had a hard time writing this sermon because knowing the sermon I wrote last week is what speaks to me on this text. And some of you haven't heard that sermon, it makes it a little hard to follow. So there's going to be parts of the rest of this sermon that came from last week's sermon, trying to keep from leaving anything out and keep us all on the same page. Last week, of course, it was snowing, the roads weren't safe, so we didn't have church. And I posted the sermon online, but I don't know who listened to it. But the point that I made in last week's sermon is that while the Corinthian church, the members of the Corinthian church, were arguing over who had the best gift, it's a totally different problem than what our churches have today. Few of our churches are concerned with who has the best gift because they're not concerned with gifts at all. Many of us today don't seem to care that we have a spiritual gift given to us by God. God has given each of us a gift. But if we aren't using those gifts in the service of God and for His church, those gifts are useless. It's not just that those that don't use their gift waste something God has given them. They also affect the strength, the health, and the vitality of the body of the church. If a part of your body is sick, diseased, or infected, what does that do to the rest of your body? The body of Christ, the church, is like that. If members aren't working together with the gifts given to them by God, the church will die. In the Old Testament, when God called someone for a specific task, He provided what they needed to accomplish that task on an individual basis. He gave Abraham what he needed. He gave Moses what he needed. He gave Noah what he needed. But since Pentecost, every believer is called and gifted by God. And since Pentecost, God expects every believer to use their gift, and when they don't, it hurts the entire body of believers. Now, there's a difference between spiritual gifts and talent. Talents are available to everyone, Christian and unbelievers. They're more about your genetics than anything else. And every person is created with certain abilities that can be a benefit to other people. But it is believers in Jesus who have spiritual gifts that benefit other believers and help in outreach to unbelievers. Spiritual gifts are more specific than natural talents in the Bible. Our text today, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4, all speak of spiritual abilities in a special way, separate from natural talents. While there's often much debate regarding definitions and uses of these gifts, the Bible specifically notes certain spiritual gifts. And while it is possible that other spiritual gifts exist, the ones specifically mentioned in Scripture are provided for the benefit of readers to better identify and practice ways to serve the body of Christ and share the gospel. Now, don't get me wrong, talents are essential to the church. How much would our services lack if we didn't have music? How plain would our worship spaces be without those with a talent for decorating? Our church meals wouldn't be enjoyable without other members who have a talent for cooking. Or maybe their talent is being able to get out of the house early enough to stop by and pick something up. And Lord bless those who use their talent to watch over the finances of the church. We'd be lost without them. But talents are different from spiritual gifts. Take, for example, having the spiritual gift of exhortation that Paul spoke of in Romans 12. We most commonly look at exhortation as encouraging. And I'll tell you, now there are times I can listen to music and literally cry from its beauty and the way it causes the spirit to move within me. However, a week later when I remember the music and I remember its beauty, but I can't bring that feeling back. But but let someone say something to encourage me. And the feeling that that encouragement gives me stays with me forever. I can remember the words of encouragement and I can feel what I felt at that moment. And I said last week that our disinterest in our spiritual gifts is, it shows us God's grace if we look at it this way. Because every time we ignore or reject or don't care enough to open our spiritual gift from God, every time we throw it back in His face, He, through His grace, continues to give it back to us and make it available to us. Corinth needed the church at Corinth to be the body of Christ. Corinth was a rough town. Today, our towns, our cities, our countries, and our world need us to be the body of Christ even more. But for us to become, as a church, the body of Christ, we, the members, need to receive the spiritual healing that we need for our church to become the body of Christ in reality instead of just name. We, as members of this church, need to work on our own personal relationship with God. We need to want to start with, we need to want to know what our gift is. And then we need to use our gifts. We need to be the people that God calls us to be. Now, we have a lot of discussions about fellowships and meals and doing things as a church and being an active church. But y'all, it doesn't matter what we do if our personal relationship with God is not in the right place. It starts with us. It starts with each one of us as an individual. Our world, our country, our city, our community needs us to be the people God is calling us to be. But that means we have to find out who God wants us to be. We have to discover our gifts, our spiritual gifts, and put them to work for God and the church. Bow your heads with me, please. Loving Father, thank you for giving each of us gifts that we can use to glorify you and your church. I pray that you will fill us with your Spirit, where we can recognize our gifts and learn how to use them for your kingdom and your church. Use us, Father, to forward the gospel of your grace in whatever way you choose. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.